You've got lots of data, lots of 3D models. Is there any potential to recycle it?
We can utilize our data to measure the performance of the building using some SAP overload at the start, and also we can measure it at the end. And we do that there at scale. We can actually help that you're decarbonizing these extensions by X percent, and then they're confident to give you a good deal on a green mortgage.
Tell us about your like product development methodology and cycle.
First of all, with the projects, we have like a very tight an ideal customer profile. Certain type of project, certain type of area. We don't classify the individual.
How do you stay ahead of competition?
Focus on like the planning approval rate is just great. Like we know it's great. We have cracking third party consultants like engineers and CCTV engineers. So we're just trying to maintain that.
Imagine being able to design your dream home extension in real time from the comfort of your couch. No more time-consuming meetings with architects or endless back-and-forth revisions. That's the future of residential architect, according to our guest today. You're listening to Bricks and Bytes, and on this episode, we welcome Mark Hood, Head of Architecture at Resi. In this episode, we discuss how Resi's innovative software empowers customers to design extensions in real time, resulting in a staggering 140 new projects per month. The untapped potential of data from over 8,000 projects and how it could revolutionize green finance and mortgages, and crucial insights for founders on maintaining profitability while scaling a tech-driven business in a traditional industry. If you're enjoying our podcast, you can support us by heading over to www.bricksbytes.show and signing up to our newsletter. This is an easy and free way which helps us keep the podcast going. In addition, you'll receive all of the key insights from the guests we have on, as well as some bonus content about what's going on in the wider world of construction tech. And now, an announcement from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Shift, helping contractors like you leverage BIM to secure a leading position in the race towards construction's digital future. Visit maketheshft.digital for more. This episode is brought to you by Build Vision, transforming construction supply chain by bringing contractors, manufacturers, and stakeholders onto a single software platform. Visit buildvision.io to find out more.
As the one next door, and this Axiom is the street next door.
Yes.
And what we're trying to do is build a piece of software which we can basically give the customer the ability to design it themselves. So like we use like Tesla as our mm-hmm. sort of like mm-hmm. our sort of our base point, and you can go in and configure your, do you want brick or render, or do you want a pitch roof?
You've got it on the site right now. Yeah, right? Yeah. Something similar.
Yeah, that's yeah. it. And it's yeah. this thing which is like, it's helping us communicate design in real time to customers.
Yeah.
Which it's for us, we think it's like the next.
My point, real time communicating the design.
So, and I generally think that
B2C.
Exactly. Yeah. And we generally think that this is the piece of software which we can use with our customers. But we've started speaking to other architects and they're like, fuck, I love it. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. So there's another avenue.
And they can use it to not only acquire customers, but also communicate better to customers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So will Resi end up going from service-based to tech-based?
Resi have their finger in many pies, and we will always have the service part of the company. And for us, it's like, at the minute, it's the core element, but in the future, it may be the sort of the petri dish of like testing new products and testing new technology. But we also have, at the minute, we've got three architects on our platform, and they use our platform to manage projects. They use our platform. We give them projects to deliver, mm-hmm. Ones which we won't be doing, and we're also speaking to many more architects about this technology. And like, do they want to come onto our platform? Do they want to use this technology to help acquire customers? Do they want to use it to make themselves more efficient? And like, productivity in architecture hasn't really changed in a long time, where Resi is becoming more and more efficient. So,
yeah.
And
so, do architects love you or hate you?
That's a great question. And I think architects, there was an article a while ago which called us the Uber of architecture, and I think it done us no favors because we're not.
I love these like comparisons.
Yeah, it's strange, but the architects, they were definitely intimidated at the start.
Mm-hmm.
Now some have like imitated us, like they've literally done what we've done. But we are trying to have a positive relationship with architects, so we're speaking to them about how do they acquire customers? Like, can we help them do that there? Like, we have 140 new customers every month. They're like, wow, like, how do you do this?
Yeah.
So, and we also have many more like leads coming into us who like come to us via our website and our socials. So we're trying to have a positive relationship. Like, we are only 1% of residential extensions. Like, we're the biggest user of the planning portal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we're only 1%. And every single industry has like a 5-10%er. Like, mm-hmm. there's just like, it's just the norm, except this industry. So there's plenty of space for like all architects, and mm-hmm. we'll never be, if we were a 10%er, I don't think we'd be a 10%er delivering in South London. We'd be a 10%er with 1% in South London, and then the 9% is across.
Yeah.
It's in Newcastle and Manchester and North London. And
yeah, East all London. The, all across the country. Yeah? Yeah. So the question is, why do you have so many customers?
Why?
Yeah.
That's a great
why? Because if you said as you're the largest architectural designer as a business, right, in the country for small projects, why people can't attract so many as many customers as you? Is it like marketing thing or is it?
Well, we have a cracking, and you know what, they're great at what they do. And we also have this like the sales team who they know more about planning than me. Like, they're giving this advice on like conservation areas and buildings and like heritage statements. I'm like, oh my God, that's, you're unbelievable.
Yeah, that's architecture 2.0 in my head, right?
Yeah. And customers, they love it. Resi isn't right for every customer. Like, some customers do want for handhelds.
Tea with the architect.
But you know what? This thing, like, I actually think that you don't need to go to site. You don't need to have the cup of tea.
Yeah. There's some kind of stigma like about this. It's like, oh, you're not coming to site. It's like, well, I think this is a generational shift, you know. Yeah. I think like people from, oh no, I feel bad because this is the second time today I've kind of shit on the older generation, but they just like, they want you to do it just because. Yeah. It's not like there's any reason or validity behind what they're suggesting, like come to site. It's like, why? It's like, oh, you know, because what?
Yeah, but it actually hinders like progress in this industry. And we're speaking to this one architect, I won't name names, but they told us last week that they go to every site to meet every customer before they become a customer. And they measure every site before they become a customer. And maybe 1 in 5 of them becomes a customer.
Wow.
So they're just doing this like work.
But it must be retired or something. Yeah. It must have much time, right?
They're retarded.
No, retired.
They're a big company in London. And just like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And for us, like we send our survey team on their scooters and they get the laser scanner. And there's like 5 or 6 surveyors and they're super nice. And they go there. They do have the cup of tea, by the way, while the scan is lasering. And then we get these millimeter perfect drawings. Then whenever our customers are at home with their kids doing their like the lunches or the dinners or their homework, they can speak to the architect and look at these 3D designs and they can measure it to the millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started to do this thing where you can fly drones over houses and you put the photo footage into this software, which then also creates this like millimeter perfect software, this millimeter perfect survey. So we're trying to not stick with the norms.
Sounds sexy. How did you get involved with Resi?
So that's a great question. About 6 years ago, I applied for a company called Design Squared, who aren't Resi. But the founder of Resi was the founder of Design Squared. And I went into the interview and I was like, yes, let's become a traditional architect.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick, the guy, was like, we're going to talk about Resi. And I was like, okay, who are Resi? And he's like, the UK's first online architects. It's all online and we need someone to head up the building regulations team. And it's going to be the next biggest thing. And Alex DePlege walks in and she's like, yes, come to Resi. It's this groundbreaking like piece of technology. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So day one was a bit crazy. We joined them. Then 5 years later, about 6 years later, still there.
Yeah. You left and came back, right?
I left and came back. So I'm one of them annoying direct reports where I want everything. I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to fall over. I want the jobs I shouldn't have. And I wanted to be head of architecture about 2.5 years ago, which is my current role. And I applied for it and I didn't get it.
That's a good way to get what you want, actually.
So I was like, I'm out of here. So I probably left too quick. I was a bit headstrong. Then Alex called me about a year later and she's like,
You still want it?
Do you still want it? And I was like, fuck yeah. This is my dream role. And I've been there. I went back. I've been there like 18 months now, and it's in a really good place. It's,
yeah,
it's an exciting place to be.
That's a great story.
So maybe a little bit about Resi. So the number of products per year you do is around 2,000.
Yeah. So I think it's now 8,000 we've done in the last six years. So in February with March there, we had 140 new customers. So if that continues, that's like
140 per month.
Yeah, per month.
Per month.
Which is like, it's sometimes it feels scary, but actually it's, we're just like, we're set up to deliver that there. So
yeah. And how big is the team?
So we have about, first of all, my accent's very strong. So if you can't understand me, just my strong, thick Northern Irish accent.
Can be stronger than mine.
Yeah, we complement each other. So we have about 30 to 40 architects and technologists and designers, and that's my team. There's also three external architects who support the team as well. Then we have the planning department. There's like five or six of them, and they're fantastic. They're like ex-planners, and they have the contacts in like Westminster and Lambeth and everywhere else. Then we have the survey team. There's like seven there. The Connect team, who bring you the third parties, engineers, builders. There's another like five or six there. The account managers, which is like six or seven. They're just like the point of contact for customers. And then the marketing, tech, and sales team. So it's, I think it's like eight departments in this fantastic little building in South London.
Yeah, nice. So like the Resi, like in a simple explanation, is you're designing home extensions for residential customers. Yeah. So that was like, that's kind of where, is that how the company started? And like, it's like your prime offering now, but you also mentioned you're testing a few things. So like, can you just talk us through how the product has sort of developed? Yeah.
So in a simplest form, we do extensions. We do more than anybody else in the UK. And with Resi, the core offer has never changed. Like at the start, you never met your architect. Now you never meet your architect or designer or technology, whoever it might be. It's all online. So it's you'll see them on the computer screen, but you'll never see them like this here, face to face. And it was always being your, I hate this word, the one-stop shop.
Mm-hmm. It's free words.
This free is, let's call it. And we started off, we started off survey and planning. Then we added building regulations and I came in. Then we added builders with Olivia's department at the minute. We then added the finance department, which I also run. Kind of crazy.
Oh, wow. Architects and finance?
Yeah, I know.
I
know. My friends and my family are like, oh my God, like, you run the finance department? But also now we're like, we are adding the kitchens and we're adding glazing. We're speaking to, we believe there's a real market for the materials as well. So we're speaking to some of them really cracking British companies on like supplying the like brick slips for extensions of SIPs. We're supplying the windows and the roof lights. We're supplying the insulation in the walls. So that's the next big move. I think as well, we're now in the last 3-6 months, we're shifting towards, we're going after green, for want of a better word.
Yeah, you have to, yeah.
Yeah, and it's our customers are saying it more and more. Like they want to save money in their bills. They want to feel comfortable in their home. Yeah.
Until they see the price of the SLC pump.
And how much does it give? Annual.
Massive gust of wind you get across your garden.
For the record, I'm a fan of heat pumps.
We'll get there. You said you hate the word one-stop shop. Is it not what the clients want to go to one entity person and they will sort everything
100%. Else,
rather than going to architect, engineer, party wall surveyor, builder, who else, kitchen person.
Exactly. And I think I hate the word one-stop shop because maybe it's just me.
Yeah,
personally. But it is like it's in terms of like, I try not to get too stuck in the architect's language because some of the things we say is kind of weird, like fenestration.
Yeah, call it a window, mate.
Yeah, it's a window.
An opening.
Exactly. Yeah, an opening is a door. So, it is a one-stop shop. It has everything under one roof. And we have a high bar for our consultants. Like they have to have like we validate them, their insurances, the record, the feedback. So it works. Yeah, I like the word one-stop shop.
Yeah, it's just like what the world is going, right? Like less human interaction and just, can you do it for an app on your phone? Yeah. Does Resi have an app?
We work on an app. We work on phones. We don't have an app. So the team, our tech team, there's like 8 of them. They build these unbelievable like dashboards and databases. And I think they rebuilt it last year, so it will work with an app in the future. So it's set up for the app. It doesn't have the app at the minute.
Yeah, that makes sense. So how do you deal with like friction? Because like from personal experience, like projects people doing these are quite emotional. People are putting a lot of money down and they do want handheld in a lot of instances. So do you have any, I suppose you have lots of stories, but how do you deal with it from an operational perspective?
Honestly, like whenever you're doing 140 projects a month, like, there's always friction. And we try not to shy away from it. We are very upfront at the start with, first of all, we nail the brief. So before you come into my department, you will have answered this questions on your brief. And the brief is, it's not about, I would like an extension. It's how you're going to use the building. Like, I would like to drink my coffee on a Sunday morning by the window. I'd like to watch my kids do their homework while I'm cooking the dinner. So we try and get them.
It's the second time I heard that one this year.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And it works, and it means that we can design something first time, which nails the brief.
Yeah, let them explain the emotions, how they want to feel.
Exactly, and we also cap revisions. So you got 3 revisions. You got to get it right.
Yeah. Is it like 5%, 10%, 7.5%, or?
But are we strict with that? Not really. If it's like 6 revisions, we're like, Jesus, come on, guys, you need to pay a bit extra now. But we are strict with revisions, and I think the interactivity of it definitely helps. Like you can message your architect or designer at any point on the dashboard, and they'll get it. So it's like a WhatsApp with your designer. You can see the progress. You can have a call with them and see like what's going on. Like the ability to have the design in real time. Just it gets rid of the friction, but there's always friction.
Yeah,
yeah.
Even like when the customer chooses like other engineer separate from like the one that you recommend, there's like a beautiful PDF brief saying what you need from the engineer, third-party engineer, to provide so that you can work on this on his or her data to finish the building regs package. Yeah? So I think it's very well described.
Where does Resi stack up in terms of competition of cost? I think cost is a huge debate in the world of architecture. Yeah. Like, so we'll say, I charge percentage, or REBA fees the regulations used to say it has a sliding scale of X%.
I even add to this, I think I read recently that average REBA chartered practice nets, I think, 8% of the turnover in... So the net income is 8% of the turnover across the REBA chartered practice.
Yeah, do you know what? First of all, we're not the cheapest. We never claim to be the cheapest. We're affordable, definitely. But Joe Bloggs down the street, who works from his back kitchen, he's cheaper. Mm-hmm. He's like, but is it a better experience? Is there more risk for the customer? Definitely. There's definitely more risk with the customer there.
Then I was going to say, so how do you keep the costs low, therefore? Yeah. Because
But also, on your bit there, so we...
Because it's about profitability at
exactly
some point, right?
So we are obsessed with profitability. Yes. As a tech company, it's like it has to be at the forefront. And I recently done a ring round of like previous architects I'd worked for to see what was their profit?
How do you ask them that? But tell me your profit.
How much did you make last year?
But they
in numbers.
But they don't think about it. It's not like in the DNA to like they say, oh well, we had a good year this year, or we cover ourselves, or like it's about this. And I'm like, it's so interesting because Resi are so systematic about everything. We know if we become more profitable because we're delivering more and our cost of goods sold is like less, we know about it. We know our direct staff costs. It's currently the delivery part of the company is in a great place profitability wise. Like we also have the tech part, which obviously doesn't deliver profit. It's quite high cost, but the actual delivery part of the architects, the designers, it's in a good place.
Yeah, nice.
Mark, where is the most friction right now in terms of the process that you're trying to figure out how to improve?
That's a good question.
In general, within architecture, to get to this like better profitability kind of ratio.
Well, we always want to increase the lifetime value of a customer, and that's by like delivering more products to them. And I think that's hard. It's hard because you want to. I think like 80% of our projects will take our building regulations package. maybe like 40-50% will take our builder. But we want it to be all of them. And all of them to take our builders. And they only use our builders. And then the lifetime value of a customer goes through the roof. And that's our greatest challenge. And then we're now trying to engage with like the retrofit side of things and try and not only deliver retrofit for our customers who don't have a clue what retrofit is. Mm-hmm. We say, do you want some retrofit advice? Or like, what is
it? Why is it called retrofit then?
Retro.
I hate the word. So I'm on a crusade. I'm going to start pretty soon of trying to like rebrand it. In my head, it's like, it's so backwards.
It just sounds wrong. Yeah.
Well, let's like split it. Retro fitting. So we are, okay, because it's existing building. So we are retro fitting something into existing shell.
If you're like talking about a house and someone says retrofit, like the image in your head, what comes out?
So I asked my parents this. Asked my parents and my grandparents and my wife's parents. And they're like, is it wallpaper in your house? Is it putting the curtains up? So it doesn't work. It's not like, it's not sexy. It's not a boat winner. It's not like, it's just this awful word. I think it should be future fit. Just saying it.
Future fit.
Future fit is like, it's better. Maybe it's not it, but it's like, it's better. So it's...
What about you, Martin? What would you call it?
I think, I've not thought about it this way. I think retrofit fits well with my head. Sorry.
No, we're changing it.
He's an engineer.
I always like split the words, right? So retro, we're talking about past, right? So the building is from the past. So it's old building. That's why you say retro and fit within this old building. That's my Polish way of understanding English.
I like it's simplistic. That's a good way. Yeah. How do you guys see the future of like of architectural design? Whilst asking now, it also just came to me that with you testing not just the design side, but also that future fitting.
Future fitting.
Yeah. Will you kind of like stop the so much focus on the design and go with like just future fitting, or will you like also be developing the design stuff?
Well, you know what? I think firstly, change in this industry it's hard. Like it took us a long time to go from the black pens, pencil case full of like 10 black pens at different millimeters to like 2D to the 3D. So I do think change is hard in this industry and we're trying to like drag it kicking and screaming. I think the green side, once we start tying like value of properties to the EPC rating and like it has to be higher performance, like the green thing will have to be at the forefront of what we're doing. At the minute, it's like, if you want to save the polar bears, you get a heat pump. But in the future, it'll be like, if you want to sell your house and get a mortgage rate of 1.34, you need to have an EPC of like B or above. Mm-hmm. And that's whenever the architects will make it front and center. And I don't think we will never lose the architectural element. We never will. Like it works for us. It's profitable. The team are fantastic. But I think the retrofit is coming in strong. We're also speaking to like SIPS companies to look at the sort of the construction of it, the construction of the walls. We're speaking to these cracking green foundations, like the I think it's like the Helix
screw pile system.
We spoke about it before, the three of us. Like we think that this ability to design in real time is our big play for the future of architecture. We think that like that is, if we can get this to help architects sell projects and deliver them quicker and customers be more engaged and design something which is more suited to them, that's
like a multiplayer experience. We were just chatting about this.
Exactly.
I've been shouting about it for months.
I love it. We're singing up the same hymn, shit.
Yeah, because
it's a shame Martin can't execute on every idea.
but it's like at the minute it's this dark arts. It's like you say what you want and the architect goes to the office and they spend a few hours like delivering it. And
especially within this sector or vertical of small projects, when you've got a street and you've got 100 homes and each of them have the same extension, but some of them have two roof lights, some of them have one roof light, some of them have rendered
three roof lights,
three roof lights, etc. So like what's the like I don't want to say that what's how difficult is it to design it, okay? But it's such a repetitive task as well, right? So
100%. And like, genuinely, our Resi Ready software is designed exactly for that. And we have these ideas of once we get planning approved for a house in the street, we just mail every person on the street and say, use this software. You can design the exact same extension in terms of like footprint, maybe change it to a pitch roof or a flat roof or go from brick to render. And then all of a sudden, they come to us with their the extension designed. And we'll always need architects to like finish these off. But if you can cut the time down from a week to 2 hours, my God.
Sounds like a really good sales funnel as well.
Yeah.
Because like they're instantly in, like using your software, you've probably got their email address and it's like email marketing 123.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you say pre-approved? So like pre-approved extension on the street? It doesn't have to come like from planning portal because my struggle has always been with the planning.
Planning, yes.
Yeah, because you need to apply for this and like shouldn't not go from the planning side that, okay, on this street you've got this house types. Yeah. That means that you can do this and that gives you a range within configurator.
Yeah, yeah.
Like what can you do?
But planning is like, it has to happen. It's always has to, we always need to lock that in. Like our planning approval rate is, I think we caveat, if you listen to our advice, it's like 99%, because we know on that street, we can all but guarantee you will get approval if it's a 3 meter rear extension and it's the pitch roof, whatever it might be. So all of these projects start with one project which is approved and that gives you the green light for the full street. And even like we talk about value add, if you're selling your property with planning approved, like my goodness, it's like there's an extra 20 grand in your pocket or extra 40 grand in your pocket.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's like a double-edged sword.
There's another potential product route there. In Permit Flow in the US, I don't even know of them. But essentially, they just compile the all of the planning application for you. This is the US. Like everything that's needed to get all the permits to build over there in like a very systemized and predictable way. So when the authorities receive their submission or whatever they call it over there, they like know that it's like going to be near enough so they can sign off very quickly.
It's honestly like, I think whenever we started, planners were like, who are these companies? Like, what are they doing? Like,
why are they doing so many?
Yeah. And, but now they're like, they know our planning team. They know our drawings. They know the validate. They That's can validate the pretty confidently.
Yeah.
And, but also it's the planning system's just a mess. So it's.
What about the data? So you do, let's say for the simplest, well, it's not going to be simplistic, but let's say 1600 projects a year. Okay. Is it fair to say?
Yeah,
1700.
Give or take a few.
Yes, exactly. So you've got lots of data, lots of 3D models.
Yeah.
Is there any potential to recycle it? What are you thinking? If you can.
We've actually had quite a few universities over the years. There's one in Australia. I think there's a few lawyers who've contacted us about our data because it is a large data set. And the thing as well, like, have we fully utilized that data set? Maybe not. But we do see there's a way with potentially in the future of we get obsessed about the idea of like green finance, green mortgages, how do we utilize our data to unlock them? Because at the minute green mortgages and green finance is a load of crap. It hasn't become this like really sexy thing. But if we can utilize our data to measure the performance of the building, maybe using some SAP overload at the start, and also we can measure it at the end, and we can do that there at scale, we can actually help the banks guarantee that you're decarbonizing these extensions by X percent. And then they're confident to give you a good deal on a green mortgage, which they are not concerned that you spent on a kitchen or a night out or something else. So I think to your first question, our data, it's helping us get better. It's helping us build technology. But we think there's so much more we can do with it. We just haven't really like nailed it yet.
Yeah. So it sounds like the green agenda of the future is about what can you, if you retrofit your home, what financing or what conditions of the financing you can get or like financial, how well retrofitted home is or will have an impact on the financial aspects of this asset, right? So mortgage, rate, this kind of stuff, right?
But like the retrofitting side, at the minute, people who want to retrofit to like save the planet, they do it. But we're now trying to educate the customers to say that you will feel more comfortable in your home. You will save money on your bills. It just happens to be green as well. So then they do it. But that still will never get all of the customers who we need to do it. So we are, like myself and Alex and the rest of the team, are so like passionate that unless we have this like super bold, zero upfront cost finance option for retrofitting, and whether the retrofitting loan is tied to the property or if it's like this green mortgage, whatever it might be, it needs to be bold to have any chance of like delivering retrofit at scale. And we think there's something in there, the testing on ourselves.
If the government is like promising something in the near future about this?
So we're speaking to the Labour government a lot about this.
Why might that be?
Yeah. You know they're coming.
We have an eye on the prize. But we're speaking to them about two things, about the retrofitting and planning. but probably more so the planning at the minute, but also the retrofitting. And our sort of line to them is, unfortunately, retrofit isn't sexy because of the word. If it's future fit, it'd be different. But we think that, like, we're saying to them, you have to be bold. Like, there has to be some sort of government guarantee against these, like, 10 to 15 year loans, where the loan, the repayment of the loan is cheaper than the saving on your bills. Then it becomes this, like, bold product where every person can
afford and want to do it.
Exactly.
Mark, can you tell us about your like, product development methodology and cycle? Because you're obviously developing a lot of product.
Yeah.
And tell us, like, do you have a process? Can you talk us through it?
Yeah. With the product, it's we're very systematic with the whole thing. And we have many challenges and debates and arguments, but we have two things. First of all, with the projects, we have, like, a very tight ICP, like an ideal customer profile. So it's a certain type of project, certain type of area. We don't go after, we don't classify the individual. We stopped short of that, but we're very.
So you're not looking at, like, demographic or psychographic of the person.
No, we don't, and we made a conscious effort not to do it there because we think it's a bit.
I think the area areas is also area that you're targeting is doing it, kind of.
It probably is.
Because it's about money in the end of the day, right?
100%. I think it's, the areas we focus more on, like, productivity of, like, is there 10,000 applications in that area every month?
Yeah.
My God, let's go after it. Mm. But then once we know that ICP, we know the actual customer profile, how we, do you know of Matt Lerner? It's like this, he's basically this, he uses growth levers. So we have a North Star. The North Star metric is, we want it to be profitability and money, but it's basically tenders accepted. So of the 140 projects, we want to get them to accepting a tender with a resi project. So that's your sort of the big sort of, like, North Star. Then we have four key metrics. It's new customers, advice calls, billing regulations started, and tender value. And every single thing we do, every growth test we do, it has to be moving the lever for one of them four things. If it's not, there's no point doing it. We're doing it for the sake of it. We're doing it because nice or sexy or something else.
Yeah. So essentially every product or something that you plan to do, implement, has to be moving one of those.
Yeah. Very good idea.
And even, like, the green thing, it's been... getting the green agenda embedded into Resi, it can't be about, as much as we care about the environment.
Of course.
It can't be about that. It has to be about, like,
you gotta make money.
Exactly. Like, yeah. So, and it does make us money, so that's why we do it.
Yeah, makes sense. And so like, is how often are you interacting with your customers during, like, your...
Me personally?
Yeah. Or even as a sort of company.
Yeah. We are obsessed by the customer. We definitely say the customer's not always right. We don't believe that, but we're obsessed by them and, like, what they're doing. So even, like, there's 6-7 of us in the management team, Alex, our CEO, makes us speak to the customers, like, every quarter. Just do a call them up, call the customers who didn't come with us 12 months ago, call the customers who are happy and unhappy. So we are always speaking to them. I think that's where you'd learn.
I want to hear an example of why customers not always right. In the architecture,
resonance, me.
Many examples.
I'm sure you have a few stories, man.
But I think
I want to compare.
Yeah, but I said to you before, like, Resi is, because we have a big presence online. Some costs, very few customers, like, this is generally the minority. They think they can, if something doesn't go right, maybe a wall's 200 millimeters into the kitchen more than they expected, they will want to go after us as a company. We're like, with existing buildings, this happens. You can't guarantee, like, millimeter perfect with existing buildings. So we have to be really firm with that. If you open up that door and say, yes, we'll cover any sort of mistake, it becomes this dangerous thing. So, but we are very respectful, and we walk them through it and educate them in how difficult existing buildings are, as we know, and it's usually fine.
There's a way of dealing with it.
Yeah.
How do you stay, I guess, on trend? Like, are you following trends or are you setting trends?
That's a great question. And I think the trends thing, we don't talk about trends. Like, it's not a thing we talk about. But, like, we done a rebrand recently. We're now purple.
Yeah, I saw that.
We decided we had to own a car.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. But I didn't put it on the
previously plane. There was, like, a large construction site in the background, right?
Yeah, it was. But previously, our name was, like, four different colors. And there was some rationale behind it, but honestly, it was done in the early days of Resi. So James, our head of marketing, came in and he's like, you have to own a color. Every big brand owns a color. So we tested, he done this like really deep document about like association of like blue is business and red is like fear and green is too green. And he's like, purple, let's go purple. And initially everyone's like, fuck, oh my God, purple, like, what is it? Is it right? And now we're like, oh yeah, purple, it makes sense. He also brought in a puppet. And we're now on ITV doing adverts. You probably see us if you watch This Morning or Britain's Got Talent. Back to your first question, it's really hard whenever you're going after customers who make one purchase in a lifetime on these things. It's hard to like, you don't get reoccurring revenue. You don't get them like multiple times. So you have to be just going after them at the right time. And I think maybe with design, the designers are fantastic. They really are. Like I could name them all, like Ollie Ant, Benny, Reem, the rest of the teams. They are fantastic at what they do. And they design trends. They're all over it. Like I see, we do design of the week every week and my head explodes. Like, oh my God, like where did this thing come out of? Within the industry and the company, we just like, we're always trying to evolve. And I think maybe the green thing is kind of a trend.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the software stack, so we chatted a little bit earlier and you mentioned that you are thinking about, working on your own software would be facilitating the extension design, right?
Yeah. Do you know what? The software is, during COVID, we had this like great idea. We're like, let's get everybody onto Revit. We had MicroStation before. And it was the hardest thing we ever done as a company. We had to train everybody up in Revit. And it took like 3 months. And then the productivity was like really difficult because this is quite a complicated software. And then now it's great. I still believe we're driving a Ferrari around London because there's so much you can do in Revit. We don't use it and we don't need it either. So we've taken it upon ourselves to try and design something. Be like, do something bold. So the configurator we built, which is on our website, resi.co.uk, it's fantastic. And it's the first iteration. We've done lofts and ground floor rears. We want to build in it more iterations. We want to build in more interactivity. We actually want to build in a carbon saving with your elements and like product placement of like heat pumps. Mm-hmm. But Revit, I think I listened to one of your podcasts where they talked about Revit, like this software.
Only one?
Many of your podcasts. But it was like the software, it gets expensive, more expensive every year. You don't use half of it. It doesn't save you any money or any time or productivity. Like what is it? It doesn't make sense as a software.
Software should be driving costs towards zero. Obviously never will be zero, but
exactly
be driving costs down.
And I do the Revit renewal every year. And if you don't do it within 6 months to renewal, you have to pay this extra money. And I'm like, what are you doing to me? This is not fair. So we use Revit. We like Revit, but we aren't wedded to it in like the longer term.
Yeah. How do you stay ahead of competition?
That's a great question. And you know what? Even more recently, like our competition, it's evolving. And we're seeing these like super cheap sort of, they have the designs already pre-made and it's
design your extension for free.
Yeah, exactly. Which is kind of ordering.
Or we'll pay you.
Yeah, we'll pay you. And even whenever we speak to the architects recently, they're finding it harder and harder because clients are taking longer to make their mind up. There's more and more, the market's so saturated with like these architects. So how do we stay ahead? Is like, we just focus on quality. We focus on like the quality of our designs. The planning approval rate is just great. Like we know it's great. We have cracking third-party consultants like engineers and CCTV surveyors, builders, and it's working. It's growing, so we're just trying to maintain that their quality.
So 5 years from now, Resi is going to deliver service or products?
That's a great question. With two parts of the company, you got the services part, which is like you got me over here, and it will always be there. I generally think it is. I think it's going to be like the petri dish of like innovation, of testing new products. We spoke to these robotic firm, Automated Architecture. I don't know if you heard of them.
Yeah.
We went to their site like 2 months ago and it's amazing. And we should test that and with this part of the business.
Is it our? Or?
Oh, yeah. And they're great guys. I think they just raised money a few weeks ago. They announced it. But then this technology part of the company is like, I think with TruScale, like it has to go into the world and like make improvements for other companies and other architects and make them more efficient and help them find customers. So I whenever we talk about this, we ask this question of ourselves a lot, and we always say that we'll never lose this part. Like these 40 architects and designers and planners will always be there. And I want them to be at the forefront of like change.
Because like, what if, let's say, how long has Resi been going on?
For like now? 6-7 years.
So let's say in 5 years, it's like 11 years of data times, let's say at that time, 2,000 projects a year.
Yeah.
Like 200,000.
You're scaring me now.
Okay, 200,000 projects. So you clearly can differentiate 200 designs, which are perfect, beautiful, and people can just choose from them and apply in their... in their project. So it's like a product that you're kind of buying, and there's little tweaks towards adjusting it to.
But honestly, like we have learned, well, I've seen the data, I've seen the typology of houses. This idea of standardizing design, it does work, but it's only for a certain section of projects, especially when you're working with an existing building, because there's so many like complexities and unique iterations internally of like the wall arrangements or like the loft. So we definitely can go after a good chunk of these projects with this product, like by productizing architecture. But we'll always need the architect. We'll always need them for like the listed buildings and the internal renovations and like the side extension which wraps around and this the more complex piece of architecture. So I think we'll try and go after more of these while also delivering these.
Mm-hmm. Do you think about like going into engineering as well? Because that sounds like the...
From the engineer.
I mean that's the most reasonable way to go as a next step, because
honestly we have talked about it. Yeah. We have I think like 3 engineers on board. They do a great job. I think like 90% of our architects, 90% of our projects go with our engineers. So it's, I don't know if it makes...
I managed to steal a few.
You have. You're the 10%. And you're very happy with the drawings.
Yeah.
But generally, I think like, is that the big bet? Is that the big play? I don't think it is. I think it, for us going after, I think keeping the engineers as like a third-party plugin, fine, it works. I think there's bigger bets we can go for, a bigger plays, which doesn't involve that.
Yeah, the reason I ask is that like in my thinking about if you get architectural design, and then to apply engineering towards this design, it should be like a matter of smart code to calculate the structure, either box frame, goalposts, or beam on padstones, and for engineer just to choose which one is the right one, and then plot the drawings out of that.
So what we have done is we have brought the engineers with us in our configurator tool. So they have given us like fixed prices because they know that with a rear extension, there only is like, depending on what the ground is like, but more often than not, it's a box frame or goalpost frame. Yeah. So they have given us commitment of prices without there. And maybe their design has to change like minorly, but they know that the customer can only have like 3 options of internal layouts. So we're involving them in our sort of standardization as opposed to like bringing them in board.
Yeah.
What's the near to short term plan with Resi? Are they looking to get acquired or raise capital?
We're currently raising. We're quite early stages. The last like few weeks, few months, and we're raising not for growth of the services part of the business. We're raising for technology. We're raising to build out this tech team to like try and go after the bigger 10x play. So we know that this, the sort of the delivery part works. I think investors, they get scared about adding bums and seats for like a service part of the business. So yes, Resi is tech enabled, but the tech part is real tech. It is like we're building it with the 8 engineers in the company. So that's that's our big play with the investment.
Yeah, I like that. My theory is that like most architects using or engineers as well using design software out of this, we are not tech enabled doing so, because everyone does that. So what's your, how tech enabled are you? You're basically doing same thing as everyone does.
So we get this question all the time, and like investors ask us this question, like, are you a tech company? Are you a tech enabled company? Like, what is it? And honestly, again, I keep breaking it up into two. So this the delivery part, which is like my part, the architects and designers and technologists, they are tech enabled. We have built tech that they can deliver 140 projects a month. Each architect can do 10 times more than a typical architect. They can do it to high quality. If we were to start again from scratch tomorrow, this team couldn't do that. They couldn't deliver these projects. It'd be like, they'd be swamped with like phone calls and like paper in the post and like printers go mad. But the tech part of the company, it's like they're building tech. They're building tech software. They're building this dashboard. They're building new. We built this like AI scrapbook we built, which didn't work, but still built it. So they are building the tech. And I think it would become exciting whenever more external architects use this tech as well, because that'll validate it. That'll mean sure it makes it like actually deliver like scale, which is impressive.
Yeah. So it's like a few like investor type of questions. If you can't say something, then just don't. But
say no comment.
No comment.
Yeah.
No comment.
No comment.
What's the growth, current growth rate, if you measure it somehow?
Yeah. Quarter on quarter, it's like we're about 20% up on last year. Last year was tough by all accounts. But in terms of revenue and booked and recognized revenue, it's about 20% up quarter on quarter, which is great.
What's recognized revenue?
So customers pay us cash. Like we get cash through the door, but we only recognize it in the P&L at certain stages, or else it's like if a customer pays us up fully upfront, we can't say that that's work done. So booked cash through the door. We're cash flow positive for the first 2 months of this year. I think January, February, March, which we were like, fuck, this is amazing. This is the first time in 6 years we've been cash flow positive. And
you said January, February, and March?
No, it was two out of the three. I don't know which.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I think it was January and February, mm-hmm. or February, March, one of the two. And it's the first time we could say to our investors and our board that we're cash flow positive, which is, it's, you know what it's like. That's quite a mean feat after 7 years of going through that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sounds like construction.
Yeah.
Do you measure customer cost acquisition?
Yeah, because we measure that there. It's a couple of hundred pound. It's something we're obsessed about as well. Anybody can spend £1,000 getting a customer, but it doesn't work in the model. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we do have we do track marketing spend.
Okay. I actually forgot what it means. What is your churn rate?
Churn rate. What's your churn rate? How quick do you churn?
Mine just went on ChatGPT before this. So it's like, yeah. I want to come across as an investor. Please give me some questions.
You know, I said it before, like about offer customers. I think it's like,
oh, that was if the customers are going and deciding not to.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you only use them once. It's not like recurring customers.
Yeah, so that's not.
About 80% of our customers would go into building regulations, which is our
second that's
part.
Your okay, yeah. churn thing.
And about 50% take our builders and. Mm-hmm. About 90% take our engineers, so it's good. We're again another figure we're obsessed about, and it's pretty good at the moment.
Yeah, but building regs, they don't have to. Sometimes they prefer not to because they have some reasons for that. Yeah. It's not
but
that
we sell building regs to 90% of our customers, and of them 80% take it. So it's pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good metric.
Okay, unit economics. Can we say something about this?
We don't measure this. I say like the profit loss per customer. We don't measure that there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What's next?
Okay. I'm going to take some pounds out of my pocket and put it.
Yeah.
Should I address the check too?
I want to make an offer.
I like, you know what I like? I noticed is your passion, Mark, for like Resi and the profession that you're in, which is really nice to see. What about the culture and like, what Resi does like, makes like kind of inclines you to be that way?
That's a great question. In Resi, it's like it used to be like this family, like 5 years ago, and now it's like I describe like a sports team because we challenge each other and we want to do better, and we want to do better for the customers, but also like
for business,
the business and people. We are open about like profitability with our team. We're open about like how we're doing. Alex, our CEO, she does a state of the nation every quarter. She's like, this quarter we're screwed. Someone's invading somebody or whatever's happening. And but we then go. She teaches the company about the P&L and like how that's working. And you have these kids out of university are just like, oh my God, this is like new information. So like, genuinely, like, everyone is invested in the success of the company. People tend to stay, which is great. Our sort of attrition is in a really good place. We look after the team. Like they work 9 to 6, maybe once a month they go to 7 or 8. But it's really, we want to make sure they are not balance. Working till 12 p.m. or working weekends. Mm-hmm. So it's I think it's all of the above. We're excited about it. It's very rare you get an architecture company which has a tech element. It's like it's this bizarre combination. And I genuinely believe that Resi is one of the unique places to build software for architecture while delivering architecture. So it's I love it.
Brilliant. So the last one for me would be Resi for new builds. What's have you thought about this? Would it make sense?
So I used to be the head of new builds.
You used to be.
Yeah. Before I went to head of architecture, and we do new builds. We don't.
What I'm asking within this actually is, if I can add to my question, are new builds, again, does someone provide a service providing design for new builds?
Yeah.
Or can we think about new builds as a product? So like a predetermined designs, and can this be bigger thing in the future in this country?
So a lot of parts of that question.
Yeah,
I think, no, it's a good question. I think new builds, there's more opportunities for some of the like sustainable construction. Like we're trying to get SIPs into extensions, and it isn't the easiest because like you want, the more SIPs you put in a project, the more the efficiencies you get and the cost of efficiencies you get. The new builds, to be honest, like we do new builds if the planning's approved. So we don't do planning for new builds because it takes like a year. We used to do it, and
yeah,
it's sure. our model is like, it just didn't work for our model. So if they come to us, we do building regulations only. But when I talked previously about the different architects we work with, we give them new build projects, and it works for them in terms of like a lead acquisition process. And with new builds, like, I'm sure that you can standardize it and you can productize it. It's probably a bit different with like the context of a site. If you have a blank site, the orientation of the sun and like the views and everything else, it becomes maybe a bit more difficult. But at the minute, we do it if it's planning approved only. And I'm envious of the ability to roll out SIPs and new builds, because SIPs is the next sort of iteration of our development. But yeah.
That's good. Okay, Mark, could you tell us where people can find out more about you and Resi?
Absolutely. I'd love to. So resi.co.uk, it's a website. There's a lot of information on there. There's information about how to book an advice calls, information about retrofitting, the benefits of like your builds and your home comfort. We have many articles in there. Sometimes we feel like we give away too much information. You see us on the socials as well. You see us on like Instagram. You see I'm on LinkedIn, talking every...
YouTube?
On YouTube. We have a YouTube.
TikTok.
I've seen you on YouTube.
I'm a YouTube sensation with 1,000 views.
Well done.
But we're like, that brand awareness is important to us. So we're on YouTube. We're actually on TikTok as well. We've had some... I don't really get TikTok, but apparently it's doing very well.
Yeah, we don't know what kind of TikTok.
Yeah, so we're out there. And I think the main thing is resi.co.uk. And like, that's for both new customers and for like collaborations, partnerships, investors, and the rest of it.
Very nice. Okay.
You got one here.
Yeah, I got one here. He's in. I'd like to invest. Fiverr.
5% equity.
Sold.
Right.
Cool. All right, Mark. Thank you.
Guys, thank you very much.